Welcome to Legal Talk with Attorney Kevin Flesch of Flesch and Beck Law. Auto accidents, DUIs, slip and falls, each one can change your life. But the trial-tested, trial-ready attorneys at Flesch and Beck Law relieve your legal burden. Whether you need to heal from an injury or protect your future in a criminal matter, the legal team at Flesch and Beck Law is prepared to defend your rights. Now, here's Legal Talk with your host, Scott Whatley, and attorney Kevin Flesch.
Welcome to Legal Talk. My name is Scott Whatley. We appreciate you being with us. Our show is brought to you by Flesch and Beck Law. 303-806-8886 is the number. And it's always good to have attorney Kevin Flesch in studio with us. Kevin, good to see you, sir.
Good to see you.
Man, the weather's getting nice.
Yes.
Sun.
We're going to have summer. It's going to happen. And maybe not a Seattle summer.
Exactly. I tell you. Yeah, but the rain got everything green good.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's pretty most places you
Oh, my gosh.
And,
My grass is the best it's ever looked. My front yard, everything is just blooming. And I'm like, wow, so this is what it's like when you don't live in an arid dust bowl.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Man, I tell you what, I was driving this morning and had to go up to Loveland last week to see a client. And I will just say this real quick. Traffic is back.
It is back. I had a court appearance last week, a trial up in North Glen, and I had to come back to the office down to Inglewood. Middle of the afternoon, I was stuck on I-25 going southbound on the north side of town.
Man.
I haven't experienced that for at least 15, 16 months.
Yeah.
And it's definitely back. And I get up pretty early and go into the office, and I'm seeing traffic early morning and before 6 a.m. That it's people are – that's good.
Sure.
We all need to get out of the house.
Yeah, and it's nice to see things opening up.
Yep.
Seeing people's faces.
Yes.
Instead of a mask.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to happen that we're going to – it's going to be really interesting this summer as to how everything transpires. What I've noticed is – so I was a fast adopter of getting vaccinated and getting rid of the mask. And so it's been very interesting to see human nature and how people have reacted to sort of customarily wearing their masks and then government saying, well, you don't have to anymore as long as you've completed these things. You know, you've fully vaccinated and everything else. And – how people, it's taken them a week or two to sort of figure that out. But more and more people I see certainly are coming in. And, you know, in my office, I've been, as soon as the government says no more masks, I was like, no more masks in the office. If you can do whatever you're comfortable with. And the majority of the people are not, you know, they're just not showing up in masks anymore,
sure.
Which is good.
Right.
Because when they're vaccinated, they don't need to be. I mean, that's following the science. But at any rate, so, yeah, with regard to everything else happening, I hope that people are getting out and doing the things they need to do.
Absolutely.
Because I think we're through the worst of it.
Yeah, hope so.
So.
Wow, that means you're in the drawing for
$1 million.
$1 million.
Exactly. I think we could spend that $1 million a little bit differently to help the state of Colorado. But it's five?
Yeah, there's 5 weeks in a row. They're doing $1 million.
Holy cow. Yeah.
And it was going for advertising.
Right.
Hey, Governor,
yeah.
I would have taken some.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Not to advertise for him. But,
But to help out some conservative
$1 million a week.
For 5 weeks.
For 5 weeks.
Well, we'll see if let's see what the vaccination rates do.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how that return on investment works out for them. Well, and I had heard that you, even if you were vaccinated already, you could put your name in for the $1 million too.
Yeah, right, right.
What's the point of that? More free money. Let's give you money so that you go to work.
Sure.
How about let's get rid of the money you're giving me so I go to work? How about that?
I've never seen so many help wanted
times. Oh, my gosh.
In all my life.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, I have some of the business clients that I have that have, you know, sort of the lower end of the spectrum in the sense of what they need for basic employees. They can't find them.
Mm-hmm.
They just can't. And that's got to change when people have to get back to work.
Yeah, Victoria, real quick, just went to our Safeway there. It's actually in Lone Tree. We're in Highlands Ranch. All they had was the self-checkout. There was not one cashier working.
Because they don't have the employees? Unbelievable. Yeah, it is very interesting. It's a very interesting time relating to that. Because those are the folks that the government is saying that they really need to help. Well, they need to help by stop paying them.
No kidding.
So that they can get back to work, and then they can make more. I mean, won't get into my soapbox about the market and how it works and how government interferes, but we definitely, I hope that everybody realizes that once we get through this, we can get back to normal and get everybody. You know, it's not any different than the folks that you see on the side of the road with the signs, homeless, but will work. You know, they really don't want the work. They want the handout. And so that's why they're there with the sign.
But, right.
So you're not there.
Kevin Flesh is with us. You're listening to Legal Talk, and we will get to that now. And our show is brought to you by Flesh and Beck Law. All right.
Less opinion, more legal stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I recently had a friend, and it contacted you and all, and man, just driving normal through. Guy blows a red light, T-bones him, and his car is probably totaled. And only to find out the gentleman's uninsured.
Yep.
Not a lick of insurance. So I thought we'd kind of talk about that today. Needless to say, you can't pick who you get into an accident with. But when it comes to light, and it will relatively quickly after you get out of the cars, man, what do you do?
Yeah, so the first couple of that example is a good one because he was taken, he went to the emergency room, was shooken up. They did a bunch of tests, and he seems to be okay. The thing that I always concern myself with is individuals who call me shortly after an accident like that. And they say, well, you know, yep, the authorities at the scene could tell that I had some issues going on medically, so they sent me to the, a lot of times they send them by ambulance to the ER, and you spend some time, and they run some tests. And then you get home the next couple of days, and people call me, and they'll be like, no, I'm pretty good. I mean, I'm sore. You know, and I have this or that, but they don't really want to go see their primary care physician, or they don't really want to go see folks that really can help with sort of whiplash symptoms and things like that. And in this particular conversation that I had with the individual, that was the same thing where they were just hesitant to do it. And I can never understand. You get into these situations, and they're critical times where you want to make sure you document what's happened, and you don't want to exaggerate, because that's not what I'm looking for.
Right.
But I think people want to be as positive about their physical outlook as possible and say, oh, it's not a big deal. I'll be all right. And a lot of times it's that 3 or 4 days after where you
Matter of fact, this happened on a Wednesday late evening. And when I talked to him, sent him a text, he said, you know, sore. I said, Sunday's coming.
Yeah.
That's what I said. Because in 4 days, dude, I'm telling you.
Right.
It's a difference.
Yeah. And you got to get in. So, to answer your question directly, so he finds out that the person that hit him doesn't have any insurance, or at least they didn't say they did at the scene. And you never know. Sometimes what we do is, so this is where you call the police come out, they do the report. You want to make sure that the police document the accident and the people involved. Because sometimes the people that do cause the accident may not have insurance at the time in the sense of proof, but they may have insurance.
Gotcha.
And so what we do once we're retained is we make sure we understand what exactly the people are saying with regard to their insurance. Maybe there's a language barrier. Maybe they were injured themselves and they didn't have a conversation with the police and police just said uninsured and then they didn't cite them or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And we figure that out. But if it's truly a situation where the person doesn't have any insurance, you still have options in the sense that when a person comes in, we can do an asset search, see if maybe they have assets that we can go after in the sense of making a claim against them, or reach out to these people to see that they do have insurance, they just didn't tell that to the police. You know, it happens in slip and fall cases too.
Sure,
I just had a case with a slip and fall at a big apartment complex this spring, and the people, we make the claim, the management company just won't get back to us. The company that owns the apartment complex won't get back to us. We file suit, we serve the people we need to serve, they still don't get back to us. We file for a default judgment, we get a default against them, we set the matter for a damages hearing, because that's how it works, and then we send the notice, because you're supposed to, you don't have to, but I think it's a good practice to send that notice of that hearing again to the person that you've served. And lo and behold, 2 weeks before the hearing, we have Chubb Insurance get in contact with us. And it's like, oh, they do have insurance. And oh, they are involved. So we never give up hope. But in the event that you really do have a situation where there's no insurance, it's a time that you still need to document what's happening to yourself and your injuries. And then Hopefully you have underinsured, uninsured motorist coverage, and then you make a claim against your own policy.
Right.
But I was talking with an insurance agent yesterday, my insurance agent, my personal one, and we were chatting about underinsured, uninsured motorists. And he was saying that there's a couple of companies in the marketplace right now that if you go online and you are shopping for rates and they kind of qualify you in the way of assets. And so if you have low assets and you don't make a lot of money, these companies on the internet for the quote are immediately rejecting underinsured, uninsured motorist coverage for $25,000 policies. So for the minimum state minimum policies, they're not even quoting it with you. And then if you accept their price, you have to reject the underinsured, uninsured motorist coverage.
Wow.
So, you know, we know that there's at least 35% of the drivers in Colorado that just don't have any insurance at all. And then another whatever, a pretty good size percentage they just have the minimums. And $25,000, you, like your friend, he got T-boned. He went to the emergency room. They run an MR. I had a procedure where I went to the ER in January this year because I was having some vertigo symptoms and I didn't know what was going on. So they brought me in, had me do an MRI, a CT scan, and some blood work and some other things. I was in the ER for a couple hours. I got the bill last month, $38,000 for that ER visit. Now, my health insurance didn't pay that much, but that's what they billed.
Right.
If you have a $25,000 policy and don't have a health insurance, that at-fault party is their limits are gone.
I mean, why would they even allow that to be the minimum? I mean, it's so low, and I think everybody would recognize that.
I think because the legislature just not increased that amount based upon inflation. I mean, it's been $25,000. I've been practicing for 25 years, yeah. And it's been $25,000 for that whole time. So they just haven't increased it.
Because it's not doing anybody any favors.
No, yeah. It's not. It's not at all, except for the person that has, you know, a little bit of whiplash, $4,000 or $5,000 in medical expenses with a chiropractor, and they're able to resolve it. But we're seeing it. There are several insurance carriers in the market that only sell that product. Individuals or insurance companies like Fred Loya, those sorts of companies that they're awful to deal with. So you may comply with the statute, but the people, there's just not enough money there to take care of things in a credible
way. So what do you
way.
Like to see on that line when you look at a policy for uninsured, underinsured for us to take out? I mean, you know, we always kind of say as much as you can afford, but I mean, what, 100, 150?
Yeah, I mean, right. So remember, this is insurance for yourself. And so if you have to decide what you can afford. I think 100, 300 is the minimums I would go with for underinsured, uninsured motorist coverage.
Okay.
Just because you get into a moderate car accident, like I said, where you go to the ER and then, you know, there's nothing broken, but you still have low back or upper back problems where you may have an injection or something like that. You don't have surgical intervention, but you have physical therapy. You have a bunch of chiropractic work and then some other things needed to diagnose and conservatively treat what the issues you have. Or you have a rotator cuff tear. You know, you're talking about $40,000, $50,000 in medical, and you're going above $100,000 really quickly.
Yeah.
And that's sort of in this environment. I just finished, I'm just finishing up a case where my client had a rotator cuff tear. She tried to treat conservatively for a couple of years, didn't get better. She just went in and got a surgery for it through Medicaid. So, but they still billed Medicaid $40,000 for the surgery. And so it's now a really significant case. And luckily we've got some pretty good limits for herself and for the at-fault driver. But in the event that she would have had a $25,000 policy and the at-fault driver would have had a $25,000 policy, she just ate it up all in medical.
Right.
And she's never going to get any real money for her pain and suffering because most likely there aren't any assets there to attach to.
Wow.
Yeah.
Kevin Flesh is with us. You're listening to Legal Talk. Show's brought to you by Flesh and Beck Law. Once again, Kevin's number, 303-806-8886. So, all right, let's say you're not hurt too bad, but your car is destroyed.
Right.
Can you sue? Now, again, if they don't have insurance, they may not have anything, but does it help to file a lawsuit on them just to try to get some of the money back?
Sometimes it does. I mean, sometimes we can shake the tree a little bit to find that there's assets there that they are willing to pay something towards the loss. Mm-hmm. Now, most people will have collision coverage as part of their full coverage of their insurance. And
right.
So if you have an uninsured or underinsured, and there are some carriers out there that maybe you have the minimum limits for bodily injury, so you have a $25,000 policy. But let's say your policy is from Texas, where you only have to have $15,000 in collision coverage. So, I mean, once again, you look at the value of vehicles these days. I mean, if you have a fairly new vehicle, it's going to be worth $15,000. And so I've got a case right now where a client had a F-150, Ford F-150, and it got hit bad, broke the back end, the axle on the back of the vehicle.
Wow.
You know, they totaled out the vehicle because of the bad axle. And the person that hit them only had $15,000 worth of coverage. Well, it was a $30,000 vehicle. So now we've got $15,000 that hasn't been taken care of. So in that situation, we made a claim against the party's own insurance as well to try to get those things covered. Mm-hmm. And we'll have to wait and see how that all turns out.
Then is that a situation where, how does that work then? Because that's not really on a contingency for you because you're filing a lawsuit, right?
It can be. So
okay.
We generally try to stay away from property damage.
Right.
Because there's just not enough money there. And
sure.
What you're doing, I mean, I always give the client the option as to how they want to handle that aspect of the case. Most people can get it resolved on their own.
Okay.
But in a situation where I've got a case that I just picked up relating to a damage to a Winnebago, to a big RV. And in that case, the people that did the repairs to the RV really damaged the vehicle to the point where I think it's going to be totaled. Now, my client has put some money in for the repairs, but they don't have another $10,000 or $15,000 for attorney fees to go
right.
after them. So we're handling that on a contingency basis, and they understand that, and we've had that conversation. But most of your car accident sort
right.
of cases, you're fighting over a few thousand dollars in value. And then it really doesn't make sense mm-hmm. for me to get involved to take that away because the people are left with not as much money as if they had just handled it themselves and
sure.
maybe settled it
on
a discount. But
that's where the free consultation
yep.
is just always priceless, I tell people, because you know what? And I, you know, I told my friend, I go, hey, if there's something there that it's good for you and he can help, he will. And if he says, hey, he'll give you some tips to do on your own, if not.
Right.
You know, and I mean, that's all you can really do because
yeah.
it is what it is.
Yeah, I had a call this week from a potential client that they're dealing with an insurance company that's not giving them a complete fair shake on the deal because they're unrepresented. So they've got $7,000 in medicals. The insurance company's offering them $12,000 or $13,000 to resolve the case. And based upon what they told me, I thought that the case probably had a value of $21,000, maybe $24,000. But we sort of started going through the math on that sort of claim and sort of came to the conclusion, and I gave them some advice to try to get up the offer another few thousand dollars because then it made sense for them to resolve it. And if they aren't able to do it, then have them come in and I'll file suit. Because in that particular situation, I think the value, let's say at $21,000, we take a third of whatever we recover.
Right.
So we would have $7,000 in attorney fees for the work that we do on the case. So that drops it down to $14,000. We then have the filing fees right now for a civil case are $425. And we would need to serve the at-fault party. And that service of process is between $75 and $100, something
right.
like that, depending upon how much work this processor is. So you're talking about another $500 to $600 in costs before we start talking about medical records and all this other stuff. So let's say if we settle the case fairly early on after resolving it or after filing suit,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're probably looking at $7,000 in attorney fees and $1,000 in costs. So that's $8,000 off that $21,000. Well, that's $13,000 that's going to be ending up in my client's pocket. And in this particular case, all of their medicals had been taken care of through MedPay,
okay.
so there wasn't any subrogation interests. And no health insurance and no Medicaid or anything like that. And so we kind of talked our way through it and realized that under those scenarios, we could go after them for that amount and probably get it. But the only one that was really gaining anything would be me. And it didn't make sense for the client to do that. I mean, I like the work, but
sure.
it really wasn't something that, so what I told them, like what you're saying with the free consultation, is I said, well, see if you can get them up to 12,500, 13,000, maybe a little bit more than that. So offer 14,500 as a number because they were at 12, and see if they will be able to negotiate something up. And if you can get in that range, then resolve it, because you'll save yourself a lot of heartache and a lot of trouble having to deal with me going through discovery, maybe a deposition, maybe mediation, all of those sorts of things. Because some of these companies, what they're doing is they're forcing people into doing that and making them go through all of that hardship to get to a point where they make an offer that's reasonable. And I know who those companies are. And sure. So when I have that call, I'll say, you know, in this particular case, the company was being pretty good with them in the sense of a pro se, a person that's representing themselves and providing the information and making a claims decision.
Right.
The insurance company was still discounting it because they weren't represented by counsel. But because they weren't, when you do the math and you look at the incremental cost of what it would have cost them to have me get involved, it made sense to resolve it.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't know that until, you know, you get a call from someone. Your friend calls me and says, well, what's this case worth? 3 days after the event. Well, I don't know because I don't know what insurance or
right.
what they're going to be doing for medical treatment and who's paid it, how it's going to be paid, and all of those sorts of things. Because what people really mean when they say to me, well, what's the case worth? What they're saying is, what are you going to put in my pocket?
Exactly.
Well, I mean, they are.
No,
because,
right.
Because when we start talking about valuation, they always look at the number that we settle for and then but they don't understand the back end of the transaction a
right.
lot of times with regard to who's paying all the bills. And that's why it's so important for us to get involved early on
mm-hmm.
in the process, because we can help you with, you know, discussions about med pay and when to use your health insurance
right.
and when to use other possible avenues that will save you money in the long run.
Because you get, if someone calls you early on and, you know, you can get them set up with a doc, a lot of times they'll do a lien, what they
yep.
call a lien.
Yep.
And then, you know, they're not out anything till it's settled.
That's right.
Yeah.
But when you talk about those liens, the liens aren't always necessarily the most cost-effective way for the client to get medical treatment.
Okay.
So if the client, I mean, there's a little bit of a premium there because people are basically, you know, the lien company is lending money to that client for those medical services.
Right.
So a lot of times, unless the doctors have, they'll do what's called the direct lien, where they'll hold the paper themselves. So they will say to you when you go in, we'll treat you on a contingency, basically, that you'll get money when you get the case resolved. And I'm just going to hold that promissory note with me and wait for you to get it resolved. And Kevin's going to help you and everything's going to be fine. We're going to get it taken care of and we'll get paid at the end. That's easy, and that generally is a pretty good value for the customer and for the client and for the patient. But where sometimes we get into situations where the client has no other option. They don't have health insurance. They don't have med pay. They don't have resources themselves
mm-hmm.
to pay cash. Because generally those three avenues on the back end are going to save you money in the sense of subrogation
right.
interests. If you don't have any of those things, though, and you need treatment, you know, if a person comes in, I think I've told you this in prior episodes that we've talked about, where a client literally came in with a broken arm into my office, you know, holding it. I can tell they're like, well, I don't have any way to get to medical treatment. You know, we immediately got them on a lien and got them treated with an orthopedic and got things taken care of
right.
for them. And that was a great outcome for them because they had no other options. And if you don't, we have great options for people to do those sorts of things. But they have to make money too. And the reason that those lien companies are out there is because there's this gap where people don't have the ability to have these medical procedures done. And the companies basically go to the doctors and say, what will you charge me to do a rotator cuff revision? You know, what will you charge me for a shoulder surgery? And that amount is X. And so then, and then they say, well, what do you would normally charge in the marketplace for the surgery? You know, so it might be, they say, well, we'll take $10,000 for the surgery, but we bill $20,000. Well, the lien company then tries to get somewhere between the 10 and the 20, and that's their profit. Makes sense. And they're adding value in the sense of they're putting up the resources so the doctor will do the surgery, because the doctor, most orthopedics, for example, don't hold their own liens.
Sure.
They want to go through someone that they're going to make sure they are guaranteed what they do, they get paid for. And, I mean, that's the whole point of health insurance.
Right.
It's not any different, except the person isn't making a premium payment every month. They're going to pay you at the end of the end of the deal. And so that's where coming to us early on really helps. You know, the person, I had a call yesterday, the person treated for 6-8 months and then said, well, COVID hit. She's back injury. And she said, well, COVID hit and I couldn't do anything. I said, well, I've had patients and clients treating through COVID without a lot of trouble. You know, what's going on? How can we help you? Well, I didn't really have the resources to do it. Okay. Well, let's try to, but that person now is 14 months out from their accident. Mm-hmm. And so that 14-month gap or 6-month gap in their treatment is going to give the opportunity for the insurance company to say, come on, did this happen from the car accident or did it happen some other way or why is this gap here? And so if we get people early on and help them through the process, we can really manage their case better than coming in right before the statute of limitations runs.
Right. Only about a minute and a half left, but a couple of tips I think we ought to give out is just, you know, taking pictures of, you know, documents and different things. And we're talking about insurance, but, you know, taking pictures. I just read something on Facebook today where somebody just had a policy number and they couldn't read their own writing
or
what they had written, and they transposed some numbers. So, you know, and I've never really asked this, but is it cool to ask a person for their driver's license and take a picture of that as well as their insurance card?
Absolutely. It completely makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah, and I always think that's a good idea. Like we've talked about it, the pictures, we have phones now that can gather all that information. You don't, because most people would miswrite something.
Yeah.
You know, the VIN on the car, the license plate, what the person looks like, this is the driver, you have a picture of them. Get their ID, get their insurance information so that you know who the company is, you know what the policy number is. You can put it all together. Take pictures of the accident scene. There's so much that you can do that we'll never be able to gather that information if you don't do it at the time.
'Cause, man,
same thing with slip and falls. People, you know, when they fall down, my first question anymore is, did you take a picture of the area where you fell? Because that's going to be huge. And it is. People, that's what we rely on anymore.
Sure.
And it is the best evidence, quite frankly, especially in the premises liability world. What did it look like at the time that you fell? Because this is what the claim rep is going to look at.
Man, we forget.
Yeah.
Quickly.
Absolutely.
What happened?
Yeah, or where exactly it happened.
Yeah.
You know, photographs will really help jog your memory relating to that.
Sure.
So important.
Absolutely. Kevin, always great information. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Kevin Flesh, Flesh and Beck Law, 303-806-8886. Thank you for being with us here for Legal Talk. Dr. Ben, Functional Medicine, coming up next.
Call now for a free consultation with Flesh and Beck Law, 303-806-8886, 303-806-8886, or visit fleshlawfirm.com. That's F-L-E-S-C-H, fleshlawfirm.com. A proven team dedicated to your legal needs.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
Can you believe how low rates are staying? Still in the twos. Back in the 40s and the 50s, rates were in the 5 to 6% range. How much longer are you going to wait? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Your home has never been worth more. Take AIM to get that lower rate or shorten your term. Lower your payment and pay thousands less in interest. It's your money. Call 720-895-0500 now. Affordable Interest Mortgage. Locally owned and family operated since 2001. Are you ready for the future financially? Many of our clients have the ability to access their equity for 30 years without raising their payments now. This prepares them for those speed bumps of life. Ask how you can become mortgage safe too. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where a reputation of putting you first and listening to you is unmatched in Colorado. Call 720-895-0500 now so you can focus on what's important, family. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
You're listening to AM 560 KLZ, your home station.
It's time for the Functional Medicine Show with Dr. Ben, brought to you by the Functional Medicine Center of Fort Collins. Dr. Ben is committed to helping patients find the root cause of their health problems. Increase your vitality to live your fullest life without drugs and surgery. Now, here's your host, Dan Muir.
And good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Functional Medicine Show with Dr. Ben. I am your host, Dan Muir, and the Functional Medicine Show is brought to you by the Functional Medicine Centers of Fort Collins, Nashville, and Phoenix, Arizona. Dr. Ben, how are you on this fine day?
Oh, beautiful outside. Oh,
I love it here. I just, sometimes you just feel, you know, like you're cheating or something because it's just so beautiful here. And, you know, this time of year now all the way through, you know, August, September is just going to be great.
Absolutely. So, well, how many flights did you make it up today?
So none. Went right for the elevator, came right up. The one day you asked me. So, no, I had to make a phone call right away. And I was like, oh, I just got to get up there and do it. So that, you know, but that happens, you know, but there's other things, you know. Let me ask you about that, Doc, since you're with functional medicine, stuff like that. Let's say you had a routine of doing that every day. Let's say you did that every day you came in, but something did come up and you couldn't do that. Is that really going to throw you out of whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish, or are there ways you can make that up?
Absolutely. So this is what I talk with patients all the time about, and it's consistency. And the consistency is what is going to create somebody's health. It's going to create their energy, so many different things. I had a husband-wife that I was working on today. They're both about halfway through the program, feeling great. The wife's down 16, 17 pounds, wow. Tons of energy, right where she wants to be as far as weight goes. The husband, he's down from 240-something down to 218, wow. And yet he wants to get closer to 205.
Okay.
And so she's good. He still has a little bit more to go. And so for her, I was like, okay, whatever you're doing now, stay consistent with that. And if you add something in and your weight starts going up a little bit or your energy goes down, okay, that don't do that anymore. But for him, don't add anything in. You're still going down. Keep the grains out. You know, add in exercise, you know, some of these other things that he hadn't done yet. And then the big thing, though, for both of them, either to maintain or to keep losing, is that consistency. So day in and day out, we can go to the gym once or twice a week. We can get on a run and do three weeks really good of going to the gym or exercise and whatever. But then you take 2 weeks off. I've got a buddy like that. He's 6'6", 280 pounds, used to play line in college and just big old boy. And he'll do that. He'll eat the way he's supposed to eat, totally dialed in, sending me text messages. Hey, I just made this. Here's a picture of my dinner, whatever. And then he's off the radar for like 2 weeks. I go, I know what happened there. And then he'll reach out and go, oh, man, I just blew it. You know. And so here's the thing. Everybody's going to have a bad meal. Everybody's going to have a bad day. Whatever it is, you've got a wedding to go to. You've got a funeral to go to, a graduation party. Whatever is going on, there's going to be a bad meal, a bad day, Christmas, Thanksgiving, whatever it is. But guess what? That next meal, that next time you eat, that next time you think about food or whatever you do, has to be full on. You're back in the saddle again. You're doing what you need to do. So today, you didn't walk up the stairs, but guess what? You're going to walk down the stairs. You can take the elevator up to the highest. What level are you on now?
We're on 12, the top of the building.
Oh, it is top of the building.
Yep.
Okay, so you could walk down those 12 flights, and guess what? That even works the muscles more going down than it does up.
You know, that is so true, because every time I leave here now, I do walk down the stairs. I don't take the elevator down anymore at all. My legs the next day are burning. Why does that take so long? Well, why does it happen like that?
Yeah, because you're controlling your body weight, and some people's body weight's a little more than others. You know what I mean?
Yeah, mine quite a bit
so
more.
So you're controlling your body weight as you step down each time. You're holding that weight, and so it's like doing a squat every time. So the other thing you could do is you could go down two flights, walk up one, go down two flights, walk up one. And then all of a sudden you've got six flights in, and you just had your little workout. So remember, you can do these things all the time, anywhere, at home. You've got the laundry in the basement. So every time you do laundry, you do three times up and down the stairs. and you get a little bit extra and you do a little bit more. And that's really where it starts, is just the consistency, creating those habits, because habits is going to be what creates your health. It's good habits, and it's also
bad habits.
Bad habits, right?
Which I'm really good at. And, I know that sounds strange, but I'm good at the bad habits.
You perfected those, Dennis. And so we've got the good and we've got the bad, and yet you've acquired a lot of good habits in this past year. And so you look at those and you go, okay, good. I'm doing this. I'm going to keep doing that every single day. I'm adding this little exercise in. I took out those chips that I was doing after work or whatever it was. And we start doing these little things. Add some things in each week, take some things out, and that's how we get to that point of health.
You know, one of the other things I'm doing too, Doc, that I've really neglected in the past, is I'm really trying to make sure that I sleep. And I'm trying to make sure that I get at least, for me, 6 hours of sleep a night, you know, consistently every night. And that's been a problem, especially with the type of work that I do, because I'm kind of a workaholic. I just work all the time. I work all the way into the evening. I get up early. I go to work. But I found that I feel so much better if I get at least that 6 hours of sleep every night. And do you find that sleep does help you with your health?
Sleep is crucial. If we think about sleep with some with health as some pillars underneath of it, sleep is one of those pillars. We've got blood sugar. We've got, you know, some other big things that we talk about all the time, but sleep is an absolutely crucial piece to this. I've got a 34-year-old right now that I'm working on. He's a decathlete. He's on track to go to the Olympics, God willing. They put the Olympics on this year in Japan. And because this will be his last hurrah for that.
Oh, okay.
And he came out of retirement probably 3 years ago. And the big thing we were talking about then was, you know, the difference between you at 32, 33, whatever he was, and, you know, the 22-year-old kid that you're going to be competing against, is they're going to be able to rebuild and repair a whole lot faster. And so you've got to get that quality sleep. You've got to regenerate. Yes, you're going to be able to break down muscle. You're going to be able to run and lift and do all these things. But the difference between 20 and even 30, as far as recovery goes, I mean, you could go out partying all night, drinking, whatever, and then still the next day come back and train again. But at 30, 35, that just can't happen anymore. And so,
no, you really slow down. It's so
yeah.
True.
And yet it doesn't have to be that way. You know, I'm doing the same workout, same exercise I was doing 15 years ago. And so a big part of that is sleep. I am very, if you ask my family, ask my wife, my kids, you know, how important is sleep in my world? You know, they're like, oh, where'd Dad go? Oh, that was his time. And so, you know, for me to get 7.5-8 hours of sleep, I know that's my sweet spot.
Okay.
And that if I get any less than that, I'm dragging that day. I'm not as productive. My brain's not as dialed in, as focused. And that's really a huge detriment. So sleep is absolutely crucial. Think about this. If you're repairing at nighttime, bone, skin, hair, nails, joints, brain, gut, all types of different things. If you're not getting that sleep, you're going to actually age faster.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. I've also noticed too that if I don't get enough sleep, it affects my vision. Is that possible?
Sure. All of those things, because it's like this. You've heard of osteoporosis, right?
Yes.
Losing bone.
Mm-hmm.
So osteoporosis, it's not losing bone. We all lose bone. Bone is this dynamic organism. It's not this elk bone that you find up in Rocky Mountain National Park and go, oh, this dried out piece of bone here. Bone is a live, living organism. It's always breaking down tissue, and it's always building tissue back up. But what happens is when we break down more than we build up, but it's not really even breaking down more, it's that we're not building up as much as we break down. So that's the big thing with sleep. And, you know, if you're exercising, if you're doing anything that you know is good for the body, it usually involves breaking some things down, and you've got to be able to rebuild those, repair that, and just give your body the best chance it can have to recover.
You know, Doc, that brings us to one of your Facebook posts. There's two of them I want to talk about today, and this brings us to the first one, is CV, which I'm assuming coronavirus. Is CV that bad of a virus, or is the health of humans just that bad? That was a great question on your Facebook post.
Absolutely, and I had to use the code word there because I think I got fact checked anyways from Facebook. But if you guys out there have not checked out my Facebook page, Functional Medicine Center Fort Collins, and we've got over 35,000 followers on there. We have our Nashville page, Arizona page, and tons of information, multiple videos a week, and just really getting a lot of info out to you guys on how to take massive action in your health. So I was talking about coronavirus, this COVID, and is it really that bad of a virus? Or ultimately, is it just that it's the health status of our nation and even the world is that bad? And I'm going to argue that it's a virus, and the news loves to talk about it. The healthy 40-year-old died from COVID or whatever it is.
Right.
So, what I say is they have no idea what healthy is. You can't just look at a body and go, ooh, that person's healthy or they're unhealthy. I've seen people that are 100 pounds overweight that their blood work really doesn't look that bad. And I've seen people that are ideal body weight that they look like they're going to die on the inside.
Oh, my.
So we just can't tell that much. But what we do know, and we knew this even back in March, February, April, was that COVID-19 is going to be primarily affecting people that are having all these predisposing conditions like cardiovascular disease. They've got diabetes, insulin resistance, high blood pressure, they're overweight or obese. All these underlying conditions, they're going to have much higher chances of having a bad case of COVID or even dying. And that's even in Italy. They had, it was like 98% of the people that died in that first wave of COVID in Italy had all these pre-existing conditions, at least one, and I think it was over 60-70% had three pre-existing conditions. So it's not a disease of the healthy, the vibrant. I look back at my patients. I've got thousands of patients, and I can think of one patient that went to the hospital this entire year and a half with COVID. And many other ones got it. It went through Colorado, it mm-hmm. went through Wyoming or Nebraska or wherever those patients live. I might have even had it around Christmas time. I haven't had antibodies tested yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if it went through my household. And yet, not a single other person besides one patient she started with us a few weeks before, and she was 100 pounds overweight and had inflammation and all these pre-existing conditions. She was in the hospital for a few days and got out and was fine. She might have died if she hadn't already started our program and lost 30 pounds and was feeling so much better and just gotten the inflammation down. So we know that this actually amplifies the problems that we have inside of us. And so that's why it's been such an eye-opening experience. And unfortunately, you're not hearing this from the news. You're not hearing this from our president or our politicians or anybody out there that, oh my gosh, take massive action now. Put down the burger, put down the Red Bull or the Coca-Cola, go out for a walk, go out and exercise, do some relaxation techniques, balance your blood sugar, all these things. We're not hearing that. All we're hearing is, for those of you that still aren't vaccinated, you still have to wear a mask, you got to, social distance, unless maybe you don't have to social distance, and maybe you need three masks, but maybe you don't. We've heard all these flip-flops from those quote-unquote experts, yep. Right?
Oh, yeah.
And so nobody really knows what to do, but ultimately we do know what to do. If everybody would have lost 15 pounds instead of gained 15 pounds during COVID, it would have been half the deaths out there that we had. And that's the sad part, is that so much of this has been preventable, reversible. Get the vitamin D up, take certain nutrients to get the immune system working better, and those things would have done much more than any amount of social distancing or anything else. And yet, guess what? We didn't hear it.
No, we didn't. As a matter of fact, we were told to go hide in our houses, watch TV, have no contact, don't go outside, when the opposite should have been going on. We should have been outside exercising, getting ourselves in shape. Like I said, get the vitamin D, walking our dogs without a mask on, going in and just living life at least outside, doing something, moving. Yeah, that's part of what I did with my family, too. I said, we're not sitting around the house. So we all went out and did food delivery. you know, I mean, just everybody. We just all, we were not going to sit around the house, because part of this too, Doc, I really believe, is that people got depressed. They got lonely. They got what do you call that? Claustrophobic, because they were sitting in their house, and that can't help you mentally, which I would think would affect you physically as well.
Absolutely. I could have changed the title of that video and said, which is what has COVID done? It's actually amplified the mental health crisis that we already had in this country, just like it amplified our overall health crisis. But the mental health crisis, kids were already on the verge of depression. They were already on the verge of freaking out because of social media and school stressors and grades and SATs and all these different things. People were already worn out. 35, 45-year-old women were already stressed to the brink. They were running kids around, and they didn't know which way was coming or going, and they're stressed, and their hormones are changing, and their blood sugar's off, and they can't lose that 20 pounds, and they've got anxiety, and their mind's racing. And then you throw in, are we all going to die? Are we going to ever be able to go back to school? Are my kids going to be okay? They don't look okay. Where's their friends? They're not even talking anymore. You know, can they just sit in their room all day? And, you know, are they actually going to learn something? Are they going to be behind for years and, you know, not getting to college like they're supposed to? You know, then we could have stressed about anything. And we did. As a society, we did. And people were stressed. And then there was an election, and there was riots, and there was, you know, people blowing things up and shootings and, you know, just anything and everything, and it's amplified. Here's a really great telling story that shows really where we've got to as a society with news and the media and all this stuff. There was a survey done by the Kaiser Foundation, and they asked people where they get their news from, and then ask them about, you know, risks and different things with COVID. And people that get their news from mainstream media, CNN and MSNBC and all these different news channels, they said it was a 50-50 chance of going to the hospital if they got COVID.
Oh my. Wow.
When in reality, it's like 2%.
Right.
Less, barely 2% chance of going to the hospital. And then, you know, they probably thought that if you go to the hospital, you got a 50-50 chance of dying.
Well, yeah, exactly, because that's all they talked about. If you go to the hospital, you're going to die. Ventilator, you're dead.
And so
that fear
is rampant, and they did a great job. I think about it all the time. You know, just being in the business world and knowing, you know, social media and marketing and all these things, I'm like, man, what if we could convince people for doing good things for themselves? What if we could convince people of doing good for the world, being servant leaders? What if we could do that like they fear tactic and scared people into doing all of these other things, and just, you know, negative and fear and everything. What if we could do that for good? That's what excites me, is that if people can get you know, confused and they can get convinced to do some of these negative things, what if we could convince them to do positive things as well? And so that's the biggest thing I'm seeing, is that we have been taught to do this fear and all these things instead of empowered. And that's what the point of functional medicine is. That's why we work with our patients, how they lose 5, 10, 15 pounds in the first 30 days. Their energy starts coming back. Their digestion. I've got the kid up in Casper, he was going 30 times a day. Now he's going twice a day. The kid at CSU was going 20 times a day. Now he's going once a day. His anxiety's gone. He can talk to my office manager without stuttering and, like, looking away and bumbling with his words. His anxiety's better. He's thinking better. His guts are better. You know, we see these changes all the time because people take massive action. They know what to do because in our approach, we're able to figure out with blood work, with a brain map, with all these different tools, what exactly is going on, and then we go step by step through that process. So it's a systems-based approach. We go, okay, these are the 8 systems out of balance. Let's jump on it and get those systems fixed.
That's perfect. And you are listening to the Functional Medicine Show with Dr. Ben, brought to you by the Functional Medicine Centers of Fort Collins, Nashville, and Phoenix. Give Dr. Ben and the gang a call at 970-282-1173 or go to fmcenters.com. You know, Doc, you bring up all of that, and that brings me to the second question that was on your Facebook, or actually it was more of a statement, you know, we should rely on our immune systems and the habits that we do every day to support our body's ability to fight off infections, regardless if we have gotten the shot. Now, what I find really important about that is it's infections and it's everything else. You know, I had COVID. I tested positive for it anyway. But I've had colds that were worse. I've had flus that have knocked me out for a week. The COVID, I hardly even knew I had. And it's like all these other things have disappeared, but they really haven't. They're still out there. There's still plenty of other things that can get you. And if your immune system isn't set up right, you could be affected by those instead.
Absolutely. And the point of that post, too, wasn't just that, oh, you got to look out and it's fear everywhere and there's bugs trying to get you and everything. The big thing that I'm seeing, though, is that people go, oh, thank God I got that vaccine. I'm good. And everything's going to be all right. I can go get my Krispy Kreme donut that I got for free. I can, breweries are giving away. You could just take that card anywhere and everywhere and get free crap everywhere you want to go.
Right.
Here's the deal. One of my patients, she just told me she lives up in Laramie and they found that there were 3 deaths with COVID in the last couple of weeks, and every single one of them had been vaccinated. What we're looking at is that people can still get sick. They can still have issues, still go to the ICU, still die, even with the vaccine, or even if they have already have it or whatever it is, you can't let your guard down no matter what. So
right.
Whether somebody wants to get vaccinated or not, I'm not going to debate that. What I'm going to say is that don't let up. Don't let that vitamin D go down. Don't quit taking your zinc or your vitamin C or whatever you've been doing to keep your body healthy. Don't go gain 10 pounds because you're like, oh, good, I'm safe now. You know, none of that is going to protect somebody 100% from getting sick or not. You've still got to take that massive action. And there may be another infection coming. You know, something else might get released from another lab. You know, there might be another infection that comes from a different country. You know, that they go, oh, wow, we were just experimenting with that one. Now it's, you know, escaped again. Or there's a bacteria that comes out next time. Or whatever. We don't know. And we'll probably never know the true story. There's so many people that are hiding things and covering up and whatever. But what we do know is that there have been germs and there will be germs for a very long time. And as long as there are hosts that will host viruses, there are going to be viruses. Guess what? We're the host.
Yep.
And so there will be a COVID-21 or a COVID-42, whatever it is. And we've got to stay strong. We've got to have this ability to be as vibrant and vital as possible.
Yeah, so, and are you ready for all the other stuff out there that'll get you too? And that's, you know, that's a huge part of it. The biggest fear I have about the vaccine is not actually taking the vaccine. It's like what you were saying, the mindset that it gives people, that they now think they're safe from everything and they don't have to do anything else again. And then, you know, they don't have to take care of themselves. And like you just pointed out, that couldn't be further from the truth.
Absolutely. And that was even with masks or whatever it was. It's like, oh, well, good, I'm wearing a mask. I don't have to worry about it. And, you know, people were wearing masks backwards. They'd drop them on the floor and then put them back on. They'd sneeze into them or they'd take the mask off and then sneeze and then put the mask back on, whatever it was. You know, but they're like, oh, good, I'm safe and I could go eat McDonald's or whatever they were doing to increase their weight, increase their blood pressure, increase their blood sugar, increase their inflammation. All those things kept happening. I thought way back in the spring of 2020, Minnesota spent $7 million on billboards, on TV spots, all these things to tell people to mask, the social distance, everything like that. What if they would have put that money into actually advertising all the things that people need to be doing? What if they would have drop shipped to every single person in the state of Minnesota vitamin D, gotten their vitamin D up over 50, which the research shows you've got much less likelihood of getting COVID, going to the hospital from COVID, going to the ICU, and dying. So that's something simple, very, very cheap. Everybody could have been doing that since day one. They could have been talking about exercising. They could have, given people, you know, free trainers and had them do these outdoor, you know, social distance, you know, exercises. Yeah. They could have done tons of things. Instead, wear a mask, social distance, sit in your basement. And it's sad, and it really set the standard for where we are as far as our overall health status goes in this country.
Okay, Doc, we've only got a few minutes left, and I want you to explain to the listening audience how you work on an individual basis. You know, you don't have a one-size-fits-all like the vaccine. You don't have the magic pill you sell in the middle of the night. Explain real quick about how you work individually and then how people can get a hold of you.
Absolutely. We just had a 21-year-old come over from Cambridge, Nebraska. I bet you've never been to Cambridge, Nebraska, have you, Dan?
Never been there. Nope.
So she came over from Cambridge, Nebraska. She's had a heck of a go. Threw up 9 months straight. Lost 100 pounds during that time. She feels her body is inflamed. Her joints. She's got this disease where the joints are just loose, and she's one of those people you could fit into a box and all these different things. And yet, I don't have the magic protocol for anybody with that issue. But what we do have is the magic way of determining what's out of balance. So we look at a very in-depth blood panel, looking at lots of different markers that people do not run normally in the regular blood panel. And then we look from the healthy range where healthy people should be. So we dial that in. Then we look at a brain map, figure out if somebody's got anxiety or depression or insomnia, or where the imbalances are coming from the brain. And then we run through the exam and all the paperwork, everything that we do, and we put it all together, and we come up with, here's these different systems out of balance, this is what we're going to work on. So somebody that has low thyroid, they may have a totally different protocol than the next low thyroid right. person, because it's way more of an individualized process than we've ever known. We'll figure out people's blood sugar imbalances, look at if they have infections, look if they're anemic, or whatever is going on. Those are the things that we have to go through step by step and fix that.
Okay. And so, Doc, how do people get a hold of you? This is really important. People need to know how to get a hold of you.
Absolutely. So you'll call and you'll speak with Alicia, 970-282-1173. And she will walk you through the process of what it looks like to become a patient, how we go through all of this examination. We have 60% of our patients come from out of state. So whether you're down in Colorado Springs or up in Casper or Denver or Fort Collins, wherever you are, we can work with you locally or remotely. So call, we'll make sure it's a good fit, make sure you're going to be able to get the results that you need through this process, and then we'll move forward and get you really dialed in on those systems that are out of balance, and then get you your health back, get you your life back, get your vitality back.
And it's so important. We only got one life, you might as well enjoy it, and you might as well be healthy so you can enjoy it to its fullest. Doc, again, thank you. This has been another great show. You seem to know how to rack them up. Really appreciate you, Doc. Have a great day. Thank you so much.
Awesome, Dan. Run down those stairs.
Okay, will do. All right, you've been listening to The Functional Medicine Show with Dr. Ben, brought to you by the Functional Medicine Centers of Fort Collins, Nashville, and Phoenix. 970-282-1173 is how to get a hold of them, or go online, fmcenters.com. I've been your host, Dan Muir. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you for joining us for the Functional Medicine Show with Dr. Ben. Contact the Functional Medicine Center of Fort Collins now by visiting functionalmedicinefortcollins.com or call 970-716-0079. Join Dan Muir and Dr. Ben next time right here on KLZ.